This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Hello, White Sox fans, and welcome to another episode of the Future Sox Podcast, part of the Just Baseball Media Network. My name is Ian Eskridge. Joining me, as always, Mr. James Fox. Tonight, we're going to be getting into some Rule 5 protections, or lack thereof, recent transactions and some coaching hires. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm good, man. How's it going? Whirlwind of a few days, huh?
Yeah, it's been a weekend leading into this emergency surgery. Everything is good to go in our house, so that's good. Your weekend also, Saturday, not a good day for you.
Yeah, bittersweet. You know, we just didn't play good enough, and it is what it is, right? Like you I think everybody kind of knew what's like waiting like at the end of the tunnel, you know. And if anybody's like following my Twitter, they've seen, you know, whatever, public private debates, like the you know, like Mount Carmel's really good, so you know, like it you know, you want to go downstate because it's cool and like it would have been a cool experience for the kids and whatnot. But yeah, so as we go played awesome. We lost 10-7. Good season. We weren't really expecting to go as far as we did, so yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, the end of the season next week or 2 weeks from now. When is it? Next week? It's 2 weeks, right?
It's this Friday, Saturday. Yeah, it's like, okay. It's always Thanksgiving weekend.
All right, so you would have basically been going against Sauron, you know, when you got there. So I mean, you know, great season. You guys made it this close to state. You know, great season.
Yeah, I think it's It's like the fourth best team in school history. So cool.
Can't complain about that, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into these Rule 5 things here. You know, Elijah and Dylan already kind of talked about it on their show, but let's go ahead and hop into it ourselves. So the one that everybody knew was coming was Tanner McDougal. Everybody knew he was getting protected. No shock there, right?
No, none at all. I mean, that one was kind of a no-brainer. I think Getz even kind of talked about it, right? Like, he called him, one of the premier pitching prospects, like, in the industry. So, you know, they think as highly as we do. I think we see Tanner this year, obviously, in a starting role in the big leagues at some point. So that one was kind of a no-brainer. But the other protection, I think, caught us a little bit off guard. And some of the guys that weren't added really kind of caught us off guard. It was a strange week. I know we're going to, like, get into all of it. Just like lots of names and dudes that I think the last time we did this, we didn't really anticipate that we were going to be talking about.
No. Yeah, it was, you know, so, I mean, I'm assuming that most of the people that are listening, because they probably follow all of our socials and everything, Duncan Davitt is also protected under the Rule 5. And, you know, like one of the things that I heard this week was that his agent said that if he didn't get traded, he was going to get protected, which is also kind of weird.
Yeah, so I guess it means that other people were also going to protect him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
So that kind of tells me that he would have been taken in Rule 5.
Yeah, and I find this whole thing kind of interesting just in general, because you're talking about a guy that, you know, his analytics come back pretty good, but, you know, he's a command control guy who's throwing like 93, 94 miles an hour. So I think that this is kind of one of those things where it's like, you're basically looking at a guy that's healthy version of Mason Adams that didn't have the results that Mason Adams had.
Yeah. Well, it's all like, I think Mason's stuff's like better, but
yeah,
it's kind of, so like, this is kind of the argument for not protecting Shane Murphy is that those types of guys just like don't really go in Rule 5 because everybody kind of has guys that are similar. Right. So, but I mean, Duncan Davitt's like the right-handed version of that. So, you know, I mean, look, he throws a little harder than Shane Murphy, right? But
Yeah.
Shane Murphy throws like 89, he's lefty, so it's fine, right? But so like that, like the closer we got, the more I understood, right? Because I was like, okay, Shane Murphy, like they're pretty confident he's not going to go. It's just not the type of profile that has gone lately. And then obviously we'll get into the other guy. But yeah, I mean, Davitt was acquired at the deadline with Curtis Meade. And I would say like he's in the mix, right? I mean, we kind of talk about, you know, I think there's two locks in the starting rotation. And then we've talked about Sean Burke and Jonathan Cannon. And, you know, I don't think McDougal starts at the club, but he's on the 40 man as a starter. Duncan Davitt's like one of those guys now. He's like one of the, you know, next guys up is what I'm assuming.
Yeah, one of the things that we keep on talking about, or at least that I keep on bringing up, is that everybody in the major leagues use 12 to 13 starting pitchers minimum through an entire season. So there's no doubt out there that outside of, you know, you go ahead and give us those six guys, there's going to be another six guys that are going to get used and get starts during the year. Who that is remains to be seen, you know, obviously.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Getz like made a comment about how he could have utility, what, as a starter or as a reliever. I mean, I guess like what the reliever role would be, like he's up as a long guy or something, or like a bulk guy, I guess. But I don't know. It seems like a back end starter profile to me.
Yeah. And so here's one of the things that really is just kind of got me reeling here that I don't get. Sleepy brings up protect two players, axe a few more off the 40 man to end up with 34 was certainly a choice. And here's the thing is that we're going to get to it here in a few minutes, but there was a bunch of trades made and they're still under where they started.
Right. Yeah, which tells me they're probably going to sign some free agents. I don't know how much money they're going to spend, right? But I think they're adding here. Like, this seems to be the... I mean, you're going to save one spot for... And I don't think they're done, like, churning guys off the roster, because you have a whole glut of right-handed hitting infielders that are all out of options. So this is, like, definitely not the team, right? Like, so I will say, like, Chris Getz has obviously made some questionable trades. They have to have some inkling that some of these guys just like aren't gonna go. Like, my guess is on Mason Adams, like they just think nobody's gonna do that, and you know, because it's July and nobody's gonna want to take it into 2027 when there might not be a season or whatever, you know what I mean? And then with the other guys, I feel like if somebody took Peyton Paulette, like they're fine with it. They just like didn't deem him worthy of protecting. And look, we speculated about this. Like, I said when they didn't add him to the roster in September, I was a little bit worried. Not like, you know, worried's probably the wrong word, right? But like, I generally thought like they would have gotten ahead of it and like put him on the 40 man. With Tanner, it was different because they seemed to care about winning the Southern League title, right? Peyton Paulette was wasting away in Charlotte. He could have came up and pitched in Chicago. And the fact that he didn't kind of told me that like maybe they don't really care about him all that much.
Yeah, it's kind of odd because he's a, you know, second round pick from a few years ago coming back from TJ. So, you know, obviously the starting pitching didn't work out so well for him, but out of the bullpen, he's looked, you know, other than a speed bump in Charlotte, because everybody has a speed bump in Charlotte, he was pretty good. So I answer a couple of the questions
here.
Just to answer this for Jamie, if a Sox player gets picked, do they get to pull player or players back? No, they do not. It was that their chance to pull them out of consideration was the Rule 5 protections, that is it. So
yeah, so essentially the way it goes is, like, say Peyton Pollack gets picked by somebody. He has to be on somebody's big league team all year, or they have to get offered back to the White Sox. Now, they go on waivers first. So somebody else could, in theory, like, whatever. Like, say the Nationals take Peyton Pollack. He doesn't make the team out of spring training. They put him on waivers. The Cubs like him. The Cubs claim him. He can be, but he then it's still Rule 5 rules. It's like what the White Sox did last year with Mike Vassell, basically. And then if, like, he doesn't make a 26-man, then he, like, returns to your organization, basically, is how it goes. So, yeah, I mean, the guys that have typically been taken, like, Shane Smith is very much an outlier. Like, it's usually starter profiles who convert to bulk relief, hard-throwing relievers with stuff and no control, and then, like, occasional position players.
Well, I mean, that's what Shane Smith was. Initially, you know, the Brewers had moved him from a starting role into the bullpen when they moved him to AAA to play for the Nashville Sounds. And it just so happens that in the offseason, he added that changeup, and that pretty much changed his profile overnight.
Right. And that's the type of thing that we're never going to know, right? Like, I got a little bit lucky last year. Like, I read the Shane Smith profile, and I'm like, oh, this seems like a guy that Bannister would like. That would make sense. Like, I had no inside information on that. I just, you know, it is what it is. You never know. Like, you know, like, one of these guys goes out and all of a sudden they have a 70 grade changeup because they went to Cressy or somewhere. Like, there's just no way of, like, us knowing that, right? So I'm sure it'll be interesting. Like, they'll make a pick, they'll take a guy second overall, it'll likely be a pitcher, and then we'll, you know, kind of dig into it. But I think holding them to the standard of, like, they should be able to do this again because they've done it once is probably unfair, because what they did last year is very, very uncommon.
Yeah. Kev says, sorry if every time I come on here I talk about Mason Adams. Same, man.
It's
same.
Fine. Yeah.
Speaking of,
do you think his age, like, matters or not really? Like, in regards to other teams caring? Because he is 26, I think.
I mean, possibly, but I don't think it matters all that much, because, I mean, most of these guys that come out of college that aren't, like, you know, the guy when they come out, usually they do take longer to get to the majors just because they're not prioritized, you know? It doesn't matter what their stats are unless they are coming out, you know, throwing 100 miles an hour. Those are the guys that move quicker.
Right, and I mean, like, if Mason Adams doesn't get hurt, he's on the 40-man because he probably makes 15 starts in Chicago last year. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't think it's a matter of, like, we don't like Mason Adams. I think it's, he's rehabbing. We don't think somebody else is going to take him. Now we'll see if they're right.
Yeah. Interesting little tidbit about Mason Adams also is that he's now working out at Cressy 3-4 times a week. So, Tanner, he only goes there right after the season's over and then works out of Vegas. But he joins Tanner McDougal as another guy that's working out at Cressy in the White Sox system. So that's good stuff.
Yeah. So what, is there anything else that we, so Sleepy wants what, Yordani Monegro. That's one of the possible Rule 5 guys, right? And then a relief Rule 5 guy. Yeah. So, like, I don't really know, like, what their plan is going to be. Like, do you try to get a starter? Do you get a guy who you think can pitch in the back of your bullpen? Like, because, I mean, even the year before, they took Shane Drohan, and then he got hurt. But now he's, like, kind of good. It's, like, to the point where Boston protected him this time around. So they might have been on. So they might have been on to something
funny
there, too, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was supposed to be, but then he ended up getting injured. So,
he got hurt with the
know,
Sox, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
So we never ended up finding out exactly what he was.
Somebody mentioned Reggie Crawford. Like, yeah, I mean, that's, like, premium stuff. It hasn't really worked, and I think there's been injuries, but that's a former first-round pick of the Giants. a big lefty who throws hard, who also, he was like a two-way player in college. Yeah, I haven't really dug in yet to like what it'll be, right? But I would imagine pitcher.
Yeah, I like the only other guy that I'm real that I've really put any thought into of possibly getting picked out of the Sox system is Schweitzer. That's the only other guy that I've really put some serious thought into that he might be a guy that somebody might be willing to take a chance on him. You know, he goes and had, what was it? 43 scoreless innings. Down the backstretch of the double A season. Playoffs didn't go as well for him, but you know, that happens, just, you know, being playoffs and whatever, but, you know, you're looking at above average fastball there. And he stretched out as a starter. And I think that somebody might be willing to take a chance on that. Paulette is the one that, you know, is one of those ones where if he went off, I would just say, yeah, that makes complete sense that somebody else grabbed him.
Yeah, I mean, but it's definitely reliever only at this point. Like, I wonder if other teams have Peyton Paulette. Like, I don't know. Like, we'll see. Like, it's a couple of weeks from now, right? The Rule 5 draft, like on the Wednesday, and we'll still either be, you know, full of euphoria or grieving about the draft lottery the day before. So,
yeah, that's gonna be a fun 24 hours there.
I listened to Chuck Garfine's latest podcast, and he had Brooke Fletcher and Connor McKnight on, and they were kind of doing off-season prediction thing, and he did a tankathon thing, right? Like live during the podcast, and they got the number one pick. So I don't know if that's good, but
I
a good omen. I have no idea. But then I think he did it again, and they had the sixth pick. So
yeah, it's great. I don't believe in omens. I think it's just, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll either get the luck will be with us or it will not. And we'll see.
It's going to be, yeah, like I don't really get anxious, but like the way they do the thing, right, where it's like 18-1 and like I kind of like calculate really quickly like what that means. You know what I mean? Like what that means. I feel like a lot of people like don't, right? But I know that the Mets pick goes back 10 spots. So if they're not listed, like, you know, I kind of know where they pick, like, okay, they're not in the top, like that sort of thing. And I'm like constantly calibrating. It is kind of like nerve wracking for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm not looking too forward to that first couple of minutes there before the first pick. And if we don't get it, it's not going to matter, you know, whether we pick second or third at that point for me, because I'm going to be I'm already going to be off the rails. It's not going to matter anymore. I'm just going to be mad.
Yeah. So I think the one hope, and obviously we'll be talking about this for the next couple of weeks, is like, even if you're second or third, that you get a small market team that like doesn't want to take the top player, which is, I think, possible.
That does happen. We've seen that. What was that? Travis Bizana.
Yeah. Like it happened. Like, 'cause I could totally see like the Sox, like, with their history with Arizona guys, you know, like with Chalowski, like if they're like, look, we don't care where we pick, we have $10.5 million for you. Make somebody beat it, like that sort of thing. So it's like not the end of the world, because there's also an awesome high school player, but like, yeah, it's going to be super annoying if they're like fourth or something.
Yeah. All right. So you want to move to these transactions here?
Yes, because they were strange. I mean, you can go ahead. Start wherever you were, because I'm like trying to process all of these.
Yeah, I know. 100%. So Kev says, do you see any surprises coming from, now I'm going to change it from winter meetings to just from the Sox. And I have to say that I was pretty surprised to see Chris Getz come out of the gate with these trades. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to start, you know, going that quickly.
No, me neither. They like got ahead of some stuff. There was some stuff that I wasn't that surprised about. But I mean, I didn't like know who some of these guys were, honestly.
Yeah. All right. So the first deal that happened was our man Sleepy Harold's unsung hero, Mr. Rony Hernandez, catcher for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, had, I would say, probably a little bit more hype than the results that he got with the Ballers. The power never really showed up. A couple of home runs, not much else. I mean, you know, he had a lot of doubles, and he did hit some singles. I'll give him that. Defense was okay, you know, threw out some base runners, was decent behind the plate, but, you know, it wasn't what everybody was hoping for when he first popped out. So, yeah, I know Carey. Well, Rony is gone.
And they have apologies. lots of catching because they take like two college catchers every year, right? There's just, you know, I don't know. Like, so obviously this was the Chris Murphy trade, who's a lefty from Boston, who's a former starter reliever now, you know, had Tommy John. Do you think, like, I don't know, were you like surprised by this return? Because like, I don't think Chris Murphy's like great by any means, right? But he has options and he'll go into your bullpen. And like, I liked Rony Hernandez like for a while, but at this point it's like trading him for a big league reliever, I think makes plenty of sense. Like, I guess I'm just kind of surprised that Boston was that interested in doing that.
Yeah, that's the part that I don't get. I don't understand why Boston did this. Left-handed reliever with a 1.18 whip last year in 23 appearances. You know, and his stats were a lot better in 2025 than in his first year, 2023. Has TJ in the middle, in April of 2024. And, comes back in July last year. He's got 7 pitches. It looks like, you know, his curveball looks a little bit more of a slurve profile, and that's his second most used pitch, I think. And then the slider's third behind his fastball. I mean,
he doesn't throw super hard, right? But he's left-handed.
No, he's
so
like 94, I think. Yeah. I think he throws like 94. But the thing is that he doesn't qualify because he didn't throw enough innings last year, but he's in like the 95th percentile or something for ground ball rate. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So, I mean, could be that this is the reliever from the Red Sox that we should have gotten in the first place instead of Cam Buser and trading away Yoiker Fajardo.
Yeah, like that's the thing, right? Like, if you're Boston, I totally understand trading 32-year-old lefty reliever with a bunch of options for Yoiker Fajardo. I just like don't really know what Rony Hernandez does for you at this point. Sorry, Carey. You know, just like, is that guy gonna play in the big leagues? My guess is like no. And if he does, like, it'll be 3 years from now. Like, it's a fine trade for the White Sox. I was just kind of like, oh, that's like when they said that he was traded for a catcher, I was like, is this Corey Lee? I was like, does somebody want Adam Hackenberg? Like, I don't know. It was kind of weird. And then I was like, oh, okay, Hernandez, got it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if it was Corey Lee, but then I would have expected probably, I don't know, just a prospect with Murphy if it was Corey Lee, just because catching's a little bit more overvalued, I would think.
Yeah.
Or a little bit more valued than you know, just a 27-year-old left-handed reliever that's only got, you know, a season, you know, one season total.
Right. It was really funny when I first saw it because I was like, oh, Chris Murphy acquired for a catcher. I'm like, so first of all, who's Chris Murphy and who is the catcher?
Yeah, that was part of the problem is that, you know, Chris Murphy, while he did have great stats last year, it's one of those guys that just kind of completely goes under the radar. Is just like, what, a sixth rounder out of University of San Diego?
Well, he was a starter, and he was a starter first, right? So, for a little bit.
Yeah, so.
Hi, Trey. How's it going, dude?
Good to see you, Trey.
Well, speaking of generated players, we got another one coming.
Yeah. So this one is, I don't know, this was kind of another one of those weird trades, but not really because the White Sox trade two right-handed pitchers in Steven Wilson, one of the returns from the Cease trade, And then free agent signing from the Yankees, Yoenir Gomez, who pitched well for the White Sox down the stretch. Yeah. And not necessarily unhittable stuff, but, you know, he put some decent starts out there down the stretch to kind of help the White Sox get closer to not losing 100 games.
Yeah.
But sure. From Tampa, they end up getting one-time heralded prospect, Everson Pereira, center fielder, and then a utility guy, Tanner Murphy, or sorry, the Murphy and Murray things got me
generated auto-generated players.
Yeah. Tanner Murray plays second base, shortstop, third base, left field, right field, does play center field, but you don't want him there.
So you knew, trade. You knew who this player was, correct?
Yeah, because he played against
the Knights. Because you watch a lot of minor league. Yeah. I did not know who this player was.
Fair enough.
I looked him up, and I'm like, numbers aren't, like, 18 homers. I'm like, I bet he's a good defender. Because they also added him to the 40-man. So, like, it seems like, look, both of these guys weren't going to get added to their respective 40-mans with the Rays, which is why they were available, right? The same thing with the Sox. Like, I think the Sox were going to non-tender Steven Wilson. And Yoenir Gomez is found money. Like, we kind of talked about him at the end of the year, where this is the stuff the White Sox should be doing. Like, you know, a guy who was on, the roster of the Dodgers and Yankees before, and then pitched for you, like, and was pretty good, but they probably saw him as more of a swingman. Like, being able to trade guys like that to gamble on an Everson Pereira, I think, makes a ton of sense. Pereira's out of option, so he has to be on the team, but, you know, I think there's real power. I think he can play center. He strikes out way too much. And if he continues to strike out way too much, like, he'll be DFA'd at some point. But I think it's like a gamble that makes sense when you're the White Sox lacking outfielders. I think he's hitting well in winter ball right now. So,
yeah,
I think it's like, it's not Miguel Vargas, right? But it's similar to that, and Curtis Meade and some of these post-hype guys. And you got rid of two guys that weren't really factoring into your plans, you know? So, yeah, I think that one's fine. And then Tanner Murray's likely, an infielder in Charlotte is my guess, but he's easy to bring up and down, and he's a good defender. That's the one underrated thing I think about all these moves, and we'll get into it more, I feel like, is they're very much leaning into defense.
Yeah, it seems to me that they're trying to raise the floor of the defense just as a, you know, an overall guideline, because Pereira's a good outfielder and Murray's also, he's good. I mean, I've only seen him play second base and third base that I remember.
That's what everybody plays at this team.
But yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things is, you know, we'll just use the same argument that everybody uses with Kyle Teal and Chase Mydrup. They'll just throw him in left field, no big deal.
Well, and the problem with Curtis Meade is I think he's probably a first baseman and he didn't hit at all. So that one's a little bit rough. But hey, maybe the headliner of that trade was Duncan Devitt. But again, you got something for Adrian Hauser, who you signed like mid-season. It's like more found money. These are like actually pretty good deals that they've made. It's some of the other ones that are questionable.
Yeah, might be. I don't know. You know, did you watch the Pereira interview that just the presser that they did a couple days ago?
No, I did not.
So I know it's, you know, the story that we've heard 100 times, but you know, he said that he was pressing when he came up, and I mean, to be fair, he's only got like 60 at bats or something
last
like that
year. Yeah, majors. So I think he had like 140 with the Yankees 2 years ago.
With the Yankees, okay.
But then yeah, it's like 65 or something with Tampa.
Yeah, I don't know. He says he was pressing. I don't doubt it. It seems to be what a lot of these younger guys do. And he says he's going to try
and I'm guessing that like Fuller or the hitting guys see something that they think they can. Yeah, it's worth it. I mean, he hits the ball really hard and he can play center field. So I think this one's fine.
Yeah, he does. I don't know. Part of my issue here is that trying to figure out exactly what he is, you know, because, I mean, you've got a pretty small sample size. I mean, the time with the Yankees, that was a couple of years ago. So like, I don't even really factor that in. I'm like more looking at what he did last year to try and figure that whole thing out. I think with the Goldilocks ball in New York and all that stuff, that, you know, who knows what he's doing, what he's not doing, where he's pressing. He's going in a playoff push. You know, I mean, I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff there that I don't know what I'm looking at. And we'll see what comes of it.
He's one of your favorites, though, man. It's an overhyped Yankees prospect.
Always my favorite. I love overhyped Yankees.
That's the first
prospects.
Thing I thought of when they got him. Like, oh, Ian. I'm like, Ian's gonna love this. Like a former Yankee prospect that was like top 75 in baseball, and their fans were like, we should trade this guy for Shohei Ohtani.
He's the next Mickey Mantle. You'll see, just like Blake Rutherford was.
I know.
All right, so what's up, Juki? How you doing? Good to see you, man. Been a minute. All right, so moving along here in the transaction line here. Derek Hill resigns with the White Sox for $900K. Yeah,
more defense.
From what I understand, it's like a non-guaranteed major league spot.
Yeah, so it's like $900K, but it's $450K in the majors and $400, like, and then he's like, because he's got options. Okay. I didn't really realize that he would be like that cheap. Like, the manager likes him. Another good defender. He had like 8 defensive runs saved in center, I think. Like, okay, fine. Like, it's not, and I know like Trey's still here, right? This isn't like Dominic Fletcher or like one of these other like tweener type guys. Like, I think he can like actually play center. So
he can.
Yeah. So that's fine. Like, if that's your Michael A. Taylor, fine. And you can option him.
I don't, you know, I'm kind of curious if Derek Hill I haven't really paid attention to him on the bases, but I mean, if he can steal bases and he plays as good as Michael A. Taylor does in the outfield or even like kind of close, I feel like there's a little bit more upside in his bat than there is for Michael Taylor. Cause I felt like, you know, other than a couple of big Michael Taylor hits, like that was mostly just every time he came in, it was just a funnel, you know, knew exactly where it was going to end up.
Yeah. And apparently he was like a really good clubhouse guy. So like the rumor is that Will Venable like loves this guy. Which is like, do you know, does anybody in the chat, like, where was he? Because the White Sox got him like late in the year. And then I just thought it was like fungible, obviously. I'm like, oh yeah, this guy doesn't matter. Right. But then the longer he stayed on the roster, I was like, well, maybe this guy's like staying here. Right. I just like assumed that he was going to be non-tendered on Friday. And then
Marlins. Okay. That's what it was. Yeah.
So the headline of that tweet was like, we've reached contract agreement with, you know, Derek Hill and all these other dudes are gone. And I was like, wait a second. Like, did I read that wrong? It was weird.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it. I don't, you know, you need to have backup outfielders. We keep on hearing him say that they're going to keep Luis Robert. I kind of feel like they're going to keep Luis Robert. You don't. I wouldn't be surprised if you're right. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm right. But if Luis Robert gets sent to, I don't know, Seattle or something, you need to have somebody to fill in at center field. And it needs to be somebody that can play the field that they feel comfortable with on defense, because you know that you're going to be losing a ton of offense regardless of who you put there.
Right.
So
yeah. Is he a lefty hitter? I think he is, right?
I think so.
I'm going to look right now.
It's been a minute.
No, he's right. So him and Pereira both are. That's what I was wondering. Like, that can't be a super cheap center field platoon because they're both right-handed, but you know,
yeah,
if they sign a lefty hitting outfielder, or you know, then it could be something like that.
Yeah, and from what I remember, Pereira, for his career, he only hits left-handed pitching for the most part.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, that's similar.
You know, so, I mean, his splits in the majors last year were the opposite, I believe.
Yeah, but it's so few at bats that it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the rest of that tweet, Ian, had some stuff in it. I think one of them, you know, is unfortunate for a guy that we talk about often. And then the other one, like the Cam Boozer part, I was just shaking my head because I was just like, this is unbelievable. Like, at this point,
I mean, Cam Boeser was not good. So that one that they non-tendered him was not shocking to me at all. We already got our jabs in on Cam Boeser and Camboozled, as Kerry would say. The one
he gave
that,
up like a real prospect for him, and then he was just bad.
I will quote the person that you talked to.
Yeah.
We won't miss him.
That's what I was told last year when I checked in. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Which, look, so, I mean, maybe he, like, ends in, you know, like, Yoiker Fajardo doesn't get past double A or something, right? Like, it's possible, but it just seems kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out there. I did watch him against the Ballers this past season, and from what I remember, he did not fare that well. So, you know, I mean, not that that means really anything. It could have just been one start. His numbers overall were pretty good. But I seem to remember watching him going, not that impressed. So, you know, and as Trey says here, even if Fajardo doesn't work out, the thought process is still pretty flawed.
Yeah, because it's a super young pitcher, right? I understand it completely with a Rony Hernandez when you have seven catchers in front of him. But with pitchers, it's kind of a dangerous game.
Yeah, that was kind of weird when the guy, what, he had like two walks and like 74 strikeouts or something like that.
Yeah, it was something crazy in the DSL. Yeah.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale, and there's no better time to score big savings on unforgettable gifts. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site wide and an extra 20% off select packages at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
One that really probably hit Kerry in the feels here is Tim Elko, the captain, was non-tendered. Torn ACL in the same knee again. So probably season missing surgery, they're saying. He played in the NCAA with torn ACL through the entire, the back half of the season, and won the College World Series. But this time he's going to have surgery, and it's going to take him away. You know why I'm calling you out that way. You're the only person I know that probably has a Tim Elko jersey.
Yeah. So do you think that he just, like, re-signs a minor league deal with the Sox, or do you think this is, like he waits and then – Because, like, the thing is, like, he didn't have, like, that much of a chance, right? But he's going to be 27 with some obvious, like, shortcomings, I think, right? Like, just with the fact that he needs to hit for a ton of power and he struck out a lot, whatever, right? We like Tim Elko, that's fine. But, like, when you see a guy like Bob Seymour go to Japan, like, do you think he's going to have to do something like that? Or do you think he just, like, comes back through somebody's minors, like, next year? He's kind of in a tough spot right now.
Yeah, no, this is like the pretty much the worst case scenario for his career. Is that I want one thing that I really, if I could ask Tim Elko any question, it would be, when exactly did you hurt your knee?
Oh, it was well before that last time he was up and he looked terrible.
That's what I'm thinking as well. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, like, I'm sure the dude was pushing when he came up to the White Sox. When he went back down, probably happened, you know, like maybe then, you know, when he went back down. I mean, he's still hitting some home runs. I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, he would be awesome. I mean, I'm not like relegating him to Asia, but he would be awesome there. Like, that's why I asked. Because yeah. Bob Seymour's going to hit like 45 dingers there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that'd be, I mean, you know, I would certainly watch. I would, if I could get like a Cebu Lions Tim Elko jersey, Yeah. I'm totally there. Uh-huh. That would be awesome. Yeah, would be cool. But I mean, you know, let's hope. I don't know if he's going to resign, but we'll see.
My guess is he returns on a minors deal and then hope maybe he could be back. Because when was that? They announced that surgery. Like, he could potentially be back towards the end of the season.
I would think. When they said it was like 8 months recovery, I was like,
It's a baseball player. Like, it's, yeah.
We're not talking about a running back here.
I know.
You know? Yeah. Everything said he'd be back in June.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if he signs with the... I mean, either way, it's going to be a minor league deal somewhere.
Uncle Ted, you just keep on throwing these combinations of letters in the comments, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's making up Japanese players.
I think that one's Korean. Yeah. I think.
Kang Bakho, yes.
Yeah. Bakho. That's a very useful in construction.
Yes.
Mike Tauchman, non-tendered as well.
Yeah. So I guess it's not terribly surprising. So the weird thing with Mike Tauchman is, like, I thought he had some value at the deadline. They did him a solid by not trading him because he's local and he had a sick child. And, like, that's cool that they did him the solid. I just kind of thought they'd be able to trade him for something, and clearly they couldn't, or they would have before non-tendering him. Some have speculated that maybe he comes back for like $2 million or something and they save, you know, whatever the ARB cost was. But, like, I don't
make sense for him.
Yeah, I don't think it really makes sense for the Sox either. Like, we kind of talked about this. Like, I like Mike Tauchman. He had a 112 WRC plus, I think, last year. Pretty solid dude. But he's hurt a lot. I don't know that he can play the outfield anymore regularly. You're going to have to give DH at-bats to, like, one of your catchers and Andrew Benintendi. Like, this might just be, you know, they couldn't get anything for him, which what you're going to get somebody's 28th-ranked prospect anyway. So you just kind of let him walk now. So, like, I get it. I was, like, a little surprised. Like, I expected to see them, like, oh, they traded him to somebody for this. And it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But, like, when they just straight out non-tendered him, I was a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I found that kind of surprising as well. You know, it's like one of your top OPS plus on the team, WRC plus, you know, he's one of the top ones on the team behind Sosa, I believe. And, you know, it's just, I think that when you see him get two hamstring injuries in the same season, and like that one where he rounded third base and came home to score and he just came up lame, you know, about 40 feet down the line. It was just kind of, for me, it was kind of the writing on the wall that this dude's kind of physically done.
And he's 35 this year. I think he can help a contender as, like, an extra guy, like, good clubhouse dude, bench bat. I just feel like the Sox are probably aiming for more, and it's going to be Braden Montgomery, like, really, really soon anyway. So, you know, if it was projected at $3 million, I kind of understand why they non-tendered.
Yeah, I think it was something like the last month of the season or something like that. He was hitting, like, 230 or something. So that's not really all that shocking, you know, and I mean, be honest here, you know, you're basically looking at Jake Taylor, you know, a guy who, if I saw him pop up in the White Sox coaching position as an outfield coach, I would 100% not be surprised.
Oh, Mike Tauchman?
Yeah, like this year.
Yeah, because he's from Palatine, and, like, he just, I don't know that he wanted to go anywhere else, right? So there's only two local teams. So unless, like, one of the local teams or the Brewers wants him, like, he's moving or living away from his family. So,
yep. So speaking of coaching hires.
Yeah, I didn't know who this person was either.
So you want to go to that one first. We'll go to that one first. Jose Laguerre, who is now the manager of your guy, Leury García, down with the Gigantes, del Cibao.
Yeah.
Bao or Cibao?
I know,
something
I
like
saw
that.
Yeah.
So he is now the first base coach for your Fighting Chicago White Sox. He was with the Twins for 2 years as a third baseman and a catcher, managed in the Florida Coast, the Florida Complex League, rookie ball, A ball for the Mets. And then he was 4 years at, he was the manager for the Double A Cardinals for 4 years. And now he's in Lidom or Lidom, whatever you want to call it, down in Dominican managing. Winter ball.
I was trying to figure out, like, who has a connection to this guy? Like, who knows him? Because it's weird, right? Like, I feel like he didn't overlap with Keller in New York. Minnesota was a long, like, he was in the Cardinals system for the last 4 years. You know, did the White Sox affiliates play them at all in anything?
They play the Cardinals. They play the Springfield Redbirds. They play them. A couple of the teams play.
So do you think this is like they sifted through like resumes for a first base coach and landed on this guy that they loved? I don't know. Like, I don't see. I mean, I'm sure he's fine. I just like don't know where the. I was trying to figure out like, oh, where the connection was. And there doesn't really seem to be one. Maybe they'll explain.
I also find it kind of odd because he was a third baseman and a catcher, mostly caught in the minor leagues.
Right.
And, you know, Bourgeois was the outfield coach as well as the first base coach. So generally, I would think that you'd probably want an outfielder as the outfield coach.
Yeah, maybe there's another outfielder coming or another coach coming.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible.
Could they have Gershley do it? Or is he an infielder? Like,
I thought he was an in, I thought he was a
Yeah, I thought he thought was he too. Was I mean, he's the infield coach, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe they need somebody to be the outfield coach. Like I don't know. They're going to I mean, there's also other hire. There's a hire that I know about, but apparently there's more in support roles coming as well.
One thing that I forgot to mention when we were going through the transactions. Frazier Ellard retired. My favorite rosin bag spiking angry reliever has voluntarily retired. Voluntarily retired.
Yes. Yeah.
And seems like kind of odd timing. I mean, I know that there were some nagging injuries and whatever, but he just decided that he wants to have a family and this ain't working.
He has some businesses or something, which is good. I mean, I get it. Like, rehabbing injuries sucks. Like, if he kind of feels like he's not willing to do what would be required to even be like an up and down guy. Like, I get it. It's just not something you typically see with somebody as young as he is, with his like career in front of him in theory.
Yeah. I found it kind of strange, but the only thing I could figure in, you know, Chris Getz kind of put the kibosh on this, but I thought maybe that there was like an injury that was like something that he was like, this is going to be way too much work to overcome. But turns out it just is that he wants to have a family and he has businesses that he'd rather pursue.
Right. And he can't do both things. I mean, you can't like half-ass this. Right. And he kind of felt like his heart wasn't in it. So he stopped. Maybe he returns. Like, this happens, right? Like, Cam Buser retired after a bunch of injuries too, and then returns.
True. So the other hire that was made, and this one is interesting. And so they hired Derek Shulman, who had been with the Schaumburg Boomers. So now they're hiring the director of analytics that was with the Boomers here. He's also been, he was the development tech guy with Houston. He was the development coach with the Royals, and he was development and data for the Rangers before going to the Boomers. Tony Medina, who's a local guy as well.
Yep, another local guy who I know I've been in like group chats and stuff with before. Good dude, from what I know. You know, I kind of heard about this a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I think he thought it was a possibility. You know, when Shulman was hired, so yeah, a couple of outside the box moves. But I mean, it's a guy who's worked with big league players before, so you know, I think he works at some local facilities too. So yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if they're like gonna do this on the pitching side. Like, they haven't announced his title, right? He's like just probably doing data with big league hitters, like showing them stuff on video, like, you know, hey, FYI, like, this is what this looked like do what you will as a major leaguer type thing, you know, that sort of analysis, like that sort of stuff. That's, you know, they just like have technicians all over the place that are like trying to help the players. So,
yeah, I also find it interesting. So like he's like certified in, with, well, I'm blanking right here, but, he's K1 motion. He's certified in that. And then he's, why the heck am I? It's not tread.
Well, no, these guys are all familiar with like the traject machines, right? That's what you're. Yeah, it's like.
No, I was talking about pitching. Actually, he's certified in K1 motion for pitching, and then Kyle Body. Why the heck am I forgetting?
Oh, yes, Driveline.
Yes, Driveline. He's yeah. Driveline for pitching. He's also certified there. So, I mean, there's some interesting things that he has going on, and there's like multiple directions that this hire could possibly go. And I don't really know exactly what that is yet.
Well, so their assistant hitting coach is a Driveline guy too. The guy who was on their staff last year, that is like their holdover hitting coach from the mm-hmm. Reds. Yeah, he was. Yeah. So he worked at Driveline before he worked with the Reds. So, yeah, these guys must, you know, all kind of know each other. Derek Showman's a character, man. Like, I've listened to, like, some of his, like, long-form podcast stuff that he's done. He's awesome. I bet he would be fun to hang out with.
Seems like it.
And he gets to come home. I think that's, like, super cool.
Yeah. Like, coming back to his team that he watched as a kid and gets to work and drive into, you know, into the rate every day for work. That's pretty rad. So
yeah, and he's like qualified too, you know. It's not like it was just like let's hire some local guy, but it probably helps.
Yeah, for sure. Have we made like a definite connection there as to where how Showman got here?
I think it was just an interview process, it sounds like. Hmm. Yeah, there's like he applied for the job and really hit it off with Fuller, and it seems like Fuller and Bannister had a lot of say like in these two main hires.
Interesting. Yeah, because I hadn't heard anything else other, and I couldn't draw any connections myself. So
no, well, Zach Bove, it's because he was a Royal, you know. So
well, I'm done for the week. Personally, do you have anything else for this week?
Yeah, we have to talk about the future steward of the Chicago White Sox.
Future steward. Oh, Justin Ishbia. All right.
Yeah.
I'll be 100% honest. The only thing I know is that he talked to the Pope.
Yes.
And said something about a stadium. Other than that, like I was like
he did the same
out of communication.
He did the same interview with like four different media outlets. So we talked to John Greenberg, who wrote a nice story, whatever. Paul Sullivan, guy Mitch Armantrout at the Sun-Times, like talked to him.
Michael Armantrout?
Yeah, Michael. Yeah, is it Michael? I thought it was Mitch.
No, Michael Armantrout's the one from Breaking Bad.
Okay, yeah, I think it's Mitch Armantrout. Yes. Yeah. No. I don't think Mitch Armantrout at the Sun-Times is killing anyone for money. But, you know, so, yeah, it was just interesting. Like, he said that he'll never call himself an owner because he's a steward and it's like a public trust, right? And you're like, yeah, you know, like, and like it doesn't mean a whole ton because I don't know when he's like taking over, right? But he did confirm that Reinsdorf owns 100% of the team right now. He was talking about a stadium and like basically said that they will build a new stadium either now or later, but he's 48 and like that's happening essentially, and he wanted the Pope to throw out the first pitch. And my whole thing was like, can this guy just take over tomorrow, you know? And look, there's some stuff going on with his brother in Phoenix that's like kind of shady. But like, I just don't care. Like, I would literally take any 48-year-old with $5 billion instead of Jerry Reinsdorf. Like, I like the negative stuff, like, I'm just going to put my fingers in my ears. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't. Like, it's fine. Like, tell me. You can tell me all the negative stuff you want about this guy. Like, I will take not Jerry Reinsdorf, like, just in general.
I, too, am ready for that to happen. I just, you know, like, the whole thing that, like, kind of just throws cold water on me here is that it's possible that he's not the guy until, like, 2034. Like, how absurd is that?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like 29 is going to be when it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, my guess is there's, like, this lockout, and then there's a salary cap. No, I'm kidding. There's like, this lockout, and then maybe he's there's
another
more,
thing for you to laugh at.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I know. And then maybe he's more front-facing for a little bit, and then he takes over in 29, right? That's
yeah,
my
for
guess.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know where this, like, so he also debunked that. The Nashville thing. He said this literally in four different newspaper articles where he said, like, if he wanted to buy a team that wasn't in the town where he lived, he would have just bought the Twins. Like, he's not moving the Sox to Nashville. And, like, Major League Baseball doesn't want to move a team to Nashville. They want to, like, start a team there because all the owners need the franchise. But people, like, keep saying this, you know? Like, it's just absolutely insane, like, the Nashville thing. And people keep saying it, like, oh, they're going to go wherever he has money. Like, Bruce Levine said that this weekend, right? He's like, oh, if the state doesn't give money. No, Jerry Reinsdorf needs the state to give him money. This guy doesn't need money from the state because he has $5 billion. Now, I'm sure he does for infrastructure and whatever, right? But the guy who's the soccer guy, Joe Mansueto,
yeah,
he didn't ask the state for any money. Because he's a billionaire, and he's like, you know what? This stadium's going to cost $700 million. Like, I'll just pay for it. Like, that's fine.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that's what Ishbia would do.
Yeah, I think that the issue here is that Jerry, yes, he's a multi-billionaire, but the thing is he's not liquid.
No, 100%. It doesn't – like, just because he could sell the Sox for whatever, right, $2.5 billion doesn't mean he has that much money.
Right.
He does not.
Yeah, and he's only like is he 51%? What is he? As far as percent, I don't even know.
He what? Jerry?
Jerry, yeah.
I don't even think he owns that much. Like,
yeah,
I don't think he's ever.
He only
he's
20% or
yeah,
something.
He's just the chairman. Like, he, you know, and they bought up a bunch of shares. And look, I do think Ishbia is like around like 40% now, because then he'll get the Jerry shares and then, you know, whatever. It just doesn't, yeah, like it's just weird, you know, this whole thing, like, you're just like waiting for him to take over, right? And you have the whole like morbid thing where it's like, you don't want anything to happen to Jerry, but you just like want a new owner. It's just like, can you please just step aside and like let somebody else do this? And
that's
just
what I would prefer.
And it just like doesn't seem like he has any interest in that. It's like, I just like don't like, I don't know. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Like, right
yeah,
now.
Like, I have heard nothing, but, you know, I know a couple people that have dealt with him and, you know, in business matters and in personal matters, and they said nothing but good things about the guy. But I'm with you. Like, I don't want him to die. I just want him to move along. You know, I know you don't like playing pinochle or bridge or whatever, or you don't play golf. Find another hobby, man, and just move along and just enjoy it from afar, you know?
Yeah, and it's, yeah, I mean, and I think everybody's cheering, you know, about the public trust. I'm a steward and public trust thing, and, like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I think some of that stuff is, like, kind of true. Like, it's, you know, like, somebody else will take it over after him, like, whatever, fine. I just, like to see something different, because we kind of know how this is going to go. Like, we just... You know, we're going to be rooting for Ryan O'Hearn and Mike Yastrzemski and waiting for prospects to come up, basically.
Yeah. This season, you know, is another season where you're like, wins are not of the utmost importance. I mean, obviously you want to see some progression here in a win total. You know, nobody wants to see him winning 50 games, 45 games, heaven forbid.
Yeah. Oh, did you see the other thing too is like so the new baseball media deal where ESPN is now taking over MLB TV, which doesn't really affect me because like I'm like we're local, right? I don't really care. But one thing it did is I guess the draft now is moving to Saturday. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, so night one of the draft moves to Saturday of All-Star weekend. So that the futures game can be played on the Sunday night. My guess is that the second day of the draft will just go all day Sunday then leading into the futures game. That hasn't been announced yet. I checked with somebody with the White Sox, and their interpretation is that, yeah, like it'll just be the next day or whatever. But yeah, the draft has moved up one night for this year.
There are a couple of concerns here for me. I'm just wondering on a functionality and monetary change for everybody that's been streaming things. I mean, like, now if ESPN's doing it, I mean, you've seen how ESPN has, how about this? I don't know if you have, but I just canceled Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, I'm in the So me and my wife are having the conversation because, like, I have the bundle because I needed insider articles. I just like a lot of their writers, and I need Passan and some of their football stuff. But now all their insider articles are free. Like, they moved them. They're not behind the paywall anymore. And I don't need Hulu. So it's way cheaper if we just cancel the thing and then I just pay for Disney separately, potentially.
It's $190 now for a year.
Of what, Disney Plus?
Yeah, they just jacked the price up again.
Yeah, it's insane. Right.
So this is my fear, is that if you are relying on ESPN / I mean, essentially Disney, you're relying on Disney to not start jacking the price up, and, you know.
Right.
It's just, to me, this is, it's a worrisome Pandora's box. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, and I don't know how they plan on doing this whole thing. You know, like, I know a bunch of people they get the MLB.tv through T-Mobile.
Yeah, that's still, you can still do that, I guess.
For the first year, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, who knows what's going to happen afterwards. And,
right.
You know, I mean, there's just so many variables now that I feel like there's a bunch of stuff that could end up screwing you, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally understand that part of it. Yeah, like I said, like, locally, I need CHSN, and that's, like, impossible, too. So, you know, like, it's just kind of, like, one of those things where, But yeah, the other, like, I have YouTube TV, and apparently, like, I get the ESPN, like, app now because of that. That doesn't include MLB TV, which is fine. But yeah, like, apparently, like, I have access to ESPN content because I have YouTube TV, which, okay.
Yeah, I'm not, like, completely worried about that whole thing, but I've given it a little bit of thought and kind of thought, maybe there's possibility that something might kind of go sideways here. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, the big Rob Manfred rebound, apparently, is what they're saying. He fumbled and then figured it out somehow.
Yeah, well, I mean, you still need, the Roku. They've got a Roku Sunday morning game that you have to watch on a Roku unless you have MLB.TV.
There's Peacock stuff. There's a Netflix game now or something. Like,
I think that the Home Peacock Run Derby got taken over by Roku.
Okay.
I think. But now what happens?
NBC gets a Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of cool that's back. I don't know. We'll see.
I wonder if it's going to be Benetti. I just don't know.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, it's not gonna. I mean, it's like Mike Tirico. He's like, yeah, he does everything else. Why not?
Well, I mean, here's the thing: is ESPN gonna put up with him eating a campfire milkshake on air? I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you good?
I'm good.
All right, sir. I'm gonna walk us out then. You have been watching / listening to the Future Sox podcast. If you are listening to this in podcast form, know that you can find us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on YouTube and the Purple app. The Future Sox podcast is now a part of the Just Baseball Media Network. You can also find this podcast along with all of our written content at futuresox.net. If you are looking for White Sox prospect highlights, you can find them on X at Future Sox and now also here on our YouTube channel. If you love the content and want to support us here at Future Sox, there is a link to our Patreon in our channel description and at futuresox.net. You can also toss up a super chat on our YouTube stream. Also, don't forget to like this stream and subscribe with notifications so you know when we're going live while helping us in the World Wide Web algorithms. My name is Ian Eskridge at Daily White Sox. He is James Fox at JamesFox917. We appreciate all of you. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Thank you so much for, unless something absolutely goes nuclear tomorrow, we will not be on until after Thanksgiving. So you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out in the chat. Thanks for dealing with the weird schedule for us this week. We appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for hanging out. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list, and every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.